Welcome to the Mastery Podcast with your host, Mark Coles. I've dedicated the last 23 years as a fitness professional to mastering my mind, my craft, and my business. It is my passion and mission to help each of you to do the same. Over the coming episodes, I will be providing you with all the necessary tools to be able to take full control of your career and your life. I'm really looking forward to going on this very exciting journey with you, so let's get started. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mastery Podcast. I'm delighted to be sat here today with a very special client of ours with Inside Coach and Concierge. Somebody who I've been working with now for about 2 years, bang on. And it is quite fitting that we are both sat here in Dubai, having you moved here a lot sooner than I did. And I will unpack this in a little bit because I'm sat with JJ Transformations founder and owner, Jack Jacks. And to many of you listening and watching this episode, Jack is 23 and has an incredible online business. And over the last 2 years, Jack has taken this incredible business to around about the 25K turnover per month. The reason why I tell you this, and I'm going to lead this up front financially, it's not just about the financials. It's about the work that JJ's put in to build the business, and what the business and the brand represents is what you're going to learn in this episode. And I just want to say, JJ, thank you. I'm glad that we're here, both in Dubai. We've been able to put this together live in person, but welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Honestly, this is a massive honor. I just want to thank Mark, first of all, just to quickly just touch on that, because like he's had such an influence on me over the past kind of couple of years. I never thought I would be where I am. I had a lot of personal development issues, as we're probably going to speak about in a second. And I did not perceive, even to be in Dubai to be possible. So I just want to thank Mark first on that note.
That's very kind of you. And that wasn't an intention of my kind of comments to you just then, but I'm super grateful always to work with people for extended periods of time, because I believe, just like coaching in fat loss and fitness, the actual true transformation isn't in the 12, 16 weeks. The true transformation is in the journey. And there's a lot of people in the fitness industry can have quick wins, can post how much money they're making. And of course, I started off by giving you guys an insight into what JJ is making financially, because I want to show to you that anything is possible. But we're also 2 years into this journey. And JJ is longer than that into his journey in the fitness industry. But I want to give you guys some context to the reality of what it's taken to get to where JJ is. So before we even get into this, I mean, we're both in a position where now we're in Dubai. It's taken me 23 years. It's taken you a lot less. And that's the kind of destination you've reached. But I want to start really at the beginning of this. To so many personal trainers, online coaches that are getting started, where did it start for JJ? How did you find fitness?
I'd probably say stemming from failure. So I originally played football at quite a decent level, and I was released at 16. And I think that was a massive turning point for me.
Who was that with?
I was for Burton Albion, and then I went to Dunedin Town for the Conference North for my scholarship. But that didn't go as planned. And I think from 16 onwards, I started realizing that. I stayed in football for a couple of years, but I think that's where I decided, right, this isn't probably the route that I wanted to go down. And that's when I started just getting into the gym. And ever since I got into the gym, I just found a love and a passion for it. And then I went across to university, started studying sport and exercise science, and kind of fell into a full-time role as a personal trainer. I was just looking for some part-time work, but I thought, why not? First year of university, jump straight into a full-time personal training role. And that's just with working with personal training corporate clients for 3 years with a company called Absolute Body Solutions. And I worked my way up the ranks there for about 2 or 3 years. I was doing, a lot of hours in the gym, 35, 40, probably up to 45 hours a week in the summers of personal training. And I just fell into love with that. And we were taught, really high standards. I was probably 18 years old at the time, to a very, important demographic of people working in the city centre. So that was where I had this learning curve of working with these professionals, working with them to get results. And that's where I found a passion for helping people and getting results. That's where I kind of learned, my stripes as such from the age of like 18 to probably like 21, all the way through university. studying sport and exercise science. That was where my sole passion was health, was fitness, was personal training. And then I had a massive dive into my education then, you know, to really level myself up within those kind of first 3 years within my career. So that's kind of how I would say I was started into the fitness industry.
Those first 3 years in personal training, you know, for me, I did 15 years on the gym floor. I still to this day talk to online coaches about getting that experience in the gym. How invaluable was that 3 years to you as a personal trainer and actually your skill as a coach?
I think, honestly, I could not have, you know, asked for a better start, because it shows your standards initially from the outset. It shows you how to communicate with people, which I think is probably the most important component of when we coach people. But also exercise mechanics and stuff like that. I think if I was to jump straight into the online space, I wouldn't have the ability to coach people like I do now, even in terms of their training, in terms of nutrition setup. But also just, you know, like I said, just main communication with individuals. And that's our main role as coaches. So yeah, I think it's absolutely crucial. I don't get me wrong, I don't think there's many different ways now you can get into the fitness industry, but for me, that was invaluable, having those 3 years of personal training.
And what was the stepping stone? I mean, you know, did 3 years as a personal trainer, and we are in an era now where there's a lot of coaches that are going straight into the online world. What was the mindset transition that was, okay, personal training, now I'm going to go into online?
It was COVID. I probably had 45 sessions a week, one-to-one personal training in Liverpool. I'd actually transitioned and was working self-employed following on from university. And everything stopped. Everything was like, wow, you know, it's either sink or swim here. I just finished my dissertation. That was more fitness-based as well. Was 21 years of old, had no income coming in, living at home, moved back to Leicestershire. And I was like, right, I need to do something here. So I started documenting my own journey and did a photo shoot. I did extensive amounts of coaching for free with my close friends, close family. I thought if I'm gonna build this, I need a much, much bigger results portfolio than what I did now. So I worked so, so hard. And I think you could ask my mum and dad, I literally just locked myself in my bedroom for about 4 or 5 months in that period from May lockdown. All I committed myself was to, you know, was to literally just training every single day, was building a business, was not really socializing for that kind of 4 or 5 month period because we couldn't. And I literally just really, really put my head down and tried to build something which, again, could give me the foundation to take things a lot bigger. At this kind of period of time, I had no idea really what online coaching was. I think I was charging, you know, for my first clients, £50 to £60 a month online coaching. But I loved it. I loved every single step of it, getting the results. You know, by the end of summer, I was meeting all the lads, all my mates for kind of transformation pictures. And that was what really started and what probably gave me the self-confidence that you can actually do this. I think before that, I had a few results here and there, but until you've got the backing and self-confidence in yourself that, you know, you can actually do your job to a high standard, I don't think it really sets in. And I think that summer for me, probably from 2020, was, you know, that instigator to what it is now, and that kind of took me down this path of body transformations.
It's quite interesting that, because I was talking to a good friend of mine, Lucas Sheehan, the other day, who's actually going to be speaking at our next London Live event. And Lucas came up to me when he originally wanted to work at M10, and he said, what does it take to get to work here? I said, go away and get 3 results and show me that you can actually get people in shape. And he came back and he put 3 results on my lap 16 weeks later. So what you are repeating is not just, say, him, but it's very interesting that the successful trainers go away and say, I've got to lock myself down for a period of time. What gave you that insight to lock yourself down to get results? Because you said, like, you were 22, 21 at that stage.
Yeah.
And you said something inside of you, which I want to try and understand. I want to build a business. I want to get great results. Now, 3 years into your journey, I remember for me, I went, the only way I'm going to stand out is by just locking my head down and getting results. So there's a bit of a trend here. The trainers that are making the money, building the businesses, building brands and changing people's lives have had a period of their life where they locked themselves down and got results. What gave you the insight into, I think that's what I need to do? Apart from COVID,
yeah,
you clearly would have done that potentially without COVID being a driver.
Probably, yeah. I think I'd finished university and I had a very split interest between doing my degree, which I did very well in, and you know, just a definitive answer of I want to do this as my career, you know, following up from university. I just thought, if I'm going to do it, I may as well do it well. I may as well commit, you know, every single bit of my passion and energy into this. I didn't want to let myself down. I've kind of got this, even myself now, I put a lot of pressure on myself, not in a bad way as such, but I always want to achieve and do the very, very best I can in anything I do. So I think coming out of university, having that definitive answer of, right, you are going to be a personal trainer, you are going to be an online coach. If you're going to do this and you're going to tell the world you're doing something, you might as well be good at it. So that's when I did lock myself down, you know, put the framework in place to get results, built a really, really good coaching system, you know, in terms of the sheets that I was using at the time. I had no idea how to do it. And then I started coaching people from there.
Going back a little bit though, you told me earlier, and everybody listening, that there was a failure in football.
Yeah.
And now you're saying that there's no way you're going to fail yourself in building a business. That kind of journey of I've failed, did you feel like in football there was a failure and there's no way whatever I do next I'm going to feel that feeling again? Talk about how you felt. So that, you know, there's so many people at your age, JJ, and I did. I played rugby at a premiership. You know, I say premiership. I played rugby at 18 in an academy, which was potentially getting me to another level, but I didn't succeed there. Talk through your mindset of how you've unraveled the kind of football and that not working and perceivably that being a failure.
I think initially it was a huge failure. But then I thought, right, if this isn't going to determine you, do you know what I mean? Just because one avenue's not worked out, you know, how can I use that as maybe a fuel to my fire to now really kick on and do something? And I think even that having that conversation with you, I think I still viewed it as a failure. But when we had that conversation, which again was probably one of the biggest turning points of my career, when you sat me down that Zoom call and said, this is probably the best thing that's ever happened to you, because look at what you've built, look at where you're going, the direction that you're going. If that hadn't happened, you wouldn't be where you were today. So I kind of changed my perspective on that, and it wasn't now seen as a failure. That's probably one of the biggest turning points, you know, maybe in my whole life, that's led me down the path that I'm going. And to be honest, I couldn't be more grateful for that. The position that I'm in now, I wouldn't, you know, if I could choose anything, I'd probably rather be sat in this position, you know, right now.
I remember that conversation so clearly. And that's why to me, I always try and create depth with the people that I build relationships with as clients, because at the end of the day, unless we see a blessing and a value in our journey, we'll see it as a pain and as a problem, and it ends up being a baggage. And I think at the time when we were working together, it was like, well, of course I can put lead generation and marketing and all these different tactics to JJ, but he's standing in his way. Why? And so what was really interesting is we uncovered that, and then you saw that as fuel to the rest of the future.
Yeah.
And at that point, even though you'd locked yourself down in lockdown and you'd started to get results with your friends, at that point, your own desire, coming from a football, does this stem back from family that are real achievers, or do you have this in the family?
Yeah, so my mum and dad are very successful. They've not really come from a lot, but they've done very, very well in property. So I think seeing their work ethic when I was growing up, that's probably what's very inspiring to me. And I think that's probably what internally drives me a little bit more as well, you know, because growing up, seeing them work hard and to the degree that they work every single day, even until now, like it's almost like that's been instilled into me from a younger age. It's not really a pressure, but it's just like that's the norm for me, that I see it now day in, day out. So if we're going to make them proud, then, you know, it's what we kind of have to do day in, day out.
Do you know what's funny? I mean, you are a part of a great community. You have great friends around you here in Dubai. That fuels and that keeps going. You've created a network. To a younger coach right now that doesn't have successful parents, driven parents, inspiring parents, what would your advice be to them in terms of trying to get into a community, a network, or just environment of other people?
Yeah. I think never be, you know, the biggest person in the room. So if you're doing or achieving the most success in a certain area, make sure you're in a bigger room, all right? Because these people are only what's going to inspire you, motivate you, but make you realize that a lot more is actually achievable. And I think it's until you're in these support groups, communities, you know, whether that is, you know, coaching businesses or, you know, support mentoring programs, like you have to do these things if you do want to level up. See all these initial investments as an investment, because if you're not around these people, you will, you know, accept that, all right, I'm doing pretty well here. You know, if you look around in your peer group, you might be doing pretty well, you might be doing okay, but like, what's stopping you from going to that next level? And I think for me, that was probably one of the biggest instigators from going from Leicestershire to where I was doing very, very well in my area to now being in Dubai, a very, very small fish in a very big pond. I think that's been huge. Environment is definitely going to play probably one of the biggest factors in your growth going forward.
And let's go back to training, you know, because yes, you've talked about business networks and all this. Yeah. It's kind of a journey that people end up later in life.
Yeah.
But you know, I ended up having great friends around me like Ben Pekulski and Jordan Peters, and these environments, I was like, how the hell have I got myself in this?
Yeah.
You're going to Banus now, training around like Olympians and IFBB pros and training with different people. You wouldn't have got that in Leicestershire.
No chance.
And so regardless of business building right now, how influential has been, you know, training in different gyms, training with different people on your own training and standards to what you should expect for yourself?
100%. Like when I first moved to Dubai, I probably accept that I had a bit of a party lifestyle from September to December. Going back last year, 2 years ago, I was not really, you know, living, you know, to my highest values, I probably would say. I was probably getting caught up in the wrong crowds. But when I made that transition to training in Banus every single day, you know, aligning with what I actually wanted to do. I obviously competed last year, came third in that, and that was really, really kind of that fire that was lit. And ever since then, ever since I made that decision from the last January, like I've been on another level with training, on another level of nutrition. The standards that I set myself now with training, nutrition every single day. Even the people that want to train with me, even people that want to be around me, the supports that I'm in now is, the networks that I'm in now is a lot greater than what it was previously. But that wouldn't have happened unless I'm training the gym that I'm training, you know, being able to kind of push business in the way that I am. So I think even from a training standpoint as well, like it's been absolutely huge.
Now, to every trainer listening to this, you know, one of the most important things that I can say, I could sit you here and we could talk about all your lead generation strategies and how you got clients.
Yeah.
But the reason you're getting clients is very much to do with your results. And I literally, I'm not going to sit here and just say it's just to do with our marketing strategies. At the end of the day, somebody wants to work with you because they see day in, day out, the quality of the results that you've achieved.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the standard that you developed within JJ Transformations that is the non-negotiable for you. How have you come to have the level of results that you've got? Talk us through that journey of, right, that was my first transformation that was okay to now having the standards that you've got now. And people can follow you. We'll talk at the end about, you know, to go and see some of your results. But talk about how the evolution of the result within JJ Transformation and the standards that you expect of yourself now.
Yeah, I just think to touch on here as well, like the results that you put out is a direct representation of your brand. And I think that is improved over time and it's evolved. You know, the standards that I put out, you know, 2 years ago in terms of results are nothing what they are now. And that's probably just an evolution. It's probably just asking more of my clients as well. And I think the standards that you set for yourself, again, it's going to be a huge impact on that. But even having that conversation with you, you know, probably 18 months ago now, you know, realizing how much more you could ask of clients and how much more you could push them if they do want to achieve a result, that was really, really key. But yeah, just coming back to the brand, like you are a direct representation of what you put out. That's everything from content. That's everything from transformations. You know, how do you want your brand to be seen as? Do you want it to be seen as high value, or are you just another kind of, you know, are you just another person just doing online coaching? And that's one thing that stuck with me in the forefront is if I'm going to do something, I want to do it well, and I'm going to, you know, showcase my results in the best light. So I've got a minimum standard that I want to set, and I set minimum expectations of clients that they come on board, what they can expect of me, what they can expect of the service, but also what I expect of them as well. Because if they do want to achieve it, it's going to be hard work, and I have to explain that to them. But they're coming to me with you know, a portfolio of results. They know the expectations that they're going to place on them, and they know that they're going to have to put in work. And I think that's what's been huge. And every single client that comes to me now, I explain these standards, I explain these systems, and more often than not, you know, results are of a very, very high standard, probably on a weekly basis that they're coming in now. So I'd probably say that.
What do you expect of people that maybe other coaches would be like, wow, that's a bit intense?
I think just complete honesty is a really, really important one, but being clear with what their goals are. You know, every single client is very, very different, but maybe I'm more of a physique-based coach now. Like if people want a body transformation, then I'm going to tell them what it takes. There is a level of sacrifice. You know, obviously, of course, they're going to have a social life from time to time, and they're going to have a meal out, but, you know, if you want results, you're going to have to be strict. I think a lot of people, you know, probably are a little bit too lenient with their clients. Like, if they want to be pushed, I'm going to push you. But also that comes back to the understanding of what does the client actually want and what value do they hold highly for that. But it all depends on kind of what the individual wants, if that makes sense. But if they want a transformation, I'm going to have to push him hard to do that.
And what has it taken for you now within the brand to get to the point where I'm sure people have rung up in the past and said, I want to get in great shape. And now they're saying, I want one of your transformations.
Yeah.
That gap between what's had to change within the business, more importantly, to try and get more people on the phone who actually say, I want to look like that person, rather than I just want to get in better shape. Because very, very clearly with your socials, you can see there's a standard of result that's there. What has been the biggest thing that you've changed maybe in the last 12 months with how you actually present the results or the, what you expect of other people that's got to the point where more people are saying, I want that level of result that you're putting out?
I think probably putting people a lot more towards photo shoots and that kind of setting is
bigger goals.
Bigger goals, yeah. Got a few lads on stage this year, that kind of thing. Just it's the level of clientele is changing quite rapidly. So we are getting better clients in. I coach a lot of my personal trainers now. The messaging's probably changed a little bit. It's probably been a bit harsher than probably what it was before in terms of the content that we're putting out. But yeah, just setting the standard for results and team photo shoots and that kind of thing. People know what they're coming to now. You know, if they want a transformation, then how we present it is so, so important.
Now, you mentioned earlier on into the episode that you've been through personal challenges. I too have and expect many more as I go through different phases of my life. What's been the biggest barrier for you? Because, JJ, there's so many young coaches listening to this. And I'm so grateful that we're sat opposite each other, because sometimes to listen to a 45-year-old, you know, longer in the tooth coach, it's like, well, what do you know? I'm 23. And then I'm like, well, let me get a 23-year-old here and tell you that there are some pretty, I'm going to say in people's perspectives, you know, pretty tough journey that we're supposed to go through.
Yeah.
Like, you've hit some roadblocks along this journey, you know. I want to uncover one of them, which was the social and being 23. Mm-hmm. But what about personal? What have you overcome that's been an obstacle that you've almost had to put pause on to deal with that's given you the most growth?
Yeah. I think learning to be a lot more open-minded and learning to take risks, but also learning to let go. I think, you know, to build the business that we've built, like, I can't do all this by myself now. I can't coach all of our clients. I can't, you know, do all the operations within the business. It's not just a one-man band now. We've got four or five staff. So it's learning to let go and delegate and understand that, you know, people can do these roles. I was probably a bit naive and I thought I have to do everything by myself. And I think that's probably been the biggest factor for me at my age is, you know, it's managing people. It's managing, you know, their values and kind of how I can get them to do the work they want to do, but also have an understanding for what they want to do as well. But definitely learning to let go. I think that's been probably one of the biggest challenges and definitely managing the team as well. The boys they're incredible. Honestly, I'm so, so grateful for them. But, you know, it's managing that and making sure the standards are aligned with what I want them to be. I think that's been the biggest turning point. And, you know, even the administration and that kind of thing, like, we've just delegated a lot more of that. These are such big challenging tasks for me because I had never had to do anything like this before. But the benefit from that in terms of getting my time back so I can grow the business and do what I want to do in terms of coaching people and the clients that I want to coach with is so important. And it's still something I'm getting used to, you know, to this day that I'm trying to improve on every single day.
And, you know, people might say, Mark, listen, you're talking to a 23-year-old. Let the guy live his life a little bit more. What would you say to people that are a bit skeptical to the work that you're doing and the business you're building and the team that you're building? And people will be like, hold on a minute, like, shouldn't I be enjoying my life a little bit more? You know, what would you say to people that kind of, you know, are listening to this going, like, he's building a team, he's 23, he's got admin staff, he's got two coaches working for him, he's got people helping out with his marketing, you know, let the guy live a little bit. What would you say to people that would potentially be quite restrictive to the growth that you're aspiring to?
This is what gets me out of bed every morning. Like, honestly, the passion that I have for not only coaching but building a business now and having huge impacts on people is much more important to me than any other night out. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I won't have a night out, because you know I do. And I do have a great social life. I've got a great network of friends, but you do have to have these push-pull periods. Like, you do have to have that commitment, right? Say, if you want to build this business, there's certain sacrifices you're going to have to make. And I've definitely made them over the past year, 18 months, where I have just locked myself away and really trying to push it. And then we can have time. Then we can go on holiday. We can have a bit of partying. Then we can get back to it. But, like, this is what I want to do. Like, if you really want to build something and you're really passionate about doing it, I think even you said to me, it doesn't matter what your age is. Anything's possible. It's just that what are you prepared and willing to maybe even sacrifice but commit to putting in the work? that will, you know, ultimately lead to this growth. I know we had this conversation last week. I know what it's going to take to 40K or whatever number we're going to try and hit. But it is that, what am I willing to give, and have I got the time and capacity to do it? But I know it's there, but it's making sure that the brand is in line, the standards are in line before we just start chasing like stupid numbers, because, you know, it's the brand and the standards are so important to me. So, so important.
So let's hold on that for a sec before I go into the social side, which is really important. You know, there's some incredible marketing strategies that we can always implement in your business to rattle ahead with numbers. And I always say that, you know, your turnover is kind of more of a vanity metric,
yeah,
but it's actually the systems and service and coaching that's actually the reality behind the scenes. You could tell somebody you're earning 40K a month, but yeah, if your retention of your service, if your, you know, quality of results, there's a lot of people selling and making a lot of money, but there's something you're trying to do with JJ Transformations that's at the core of this that keeps you aligned with what you're trying to build, and that's the brand.
Yeah.
Just talk about like that's almost like a center point for you that pulls you back and go, you know, yeah, am I doing this aligned with my brand?
Yeah.
So what are you trying to do with JJ Transformations that makes you so committed to just staying the course with building this special thing?
Yeah, I think reputation is so, so important to me. You know, how the brand is seen, how the results that we put out, the service that we deliver is honestly so, so important to me. I think even, you know, I think the fitness industry is a great place and a bad place in that sense, but the standards that we are known for, the results that we produce, I want our clients to literally, you know, have the best experience with us. But I want us to impact the most amount of people as well. And if we're scaling at a really great rate, then we're not going to be able to keep up with these systems, that we're not going to be able to manage it with staff. I would rather scale at a slightly slower pace, but the results remain the standards. You know, even my time and energy, I want that to be given to our clients in the best possible way. So we've discussed strategies. We know what it's going to take to get there, but, you know, is it worth potentially sacrificing some of the standards and the reputation of the brand at the minute to take away from that? Potentially not. But we know it's definitely possible, and it will be coming, you know, later down the line as well.
Yeah, I think it's a very honourable way of looking at building a business. Mm. Now, I do want to go across to something that's really, you know, something that I know 23-year-olds, 24-year-olds will be on the tip of their tongue. You know, especially for me, they'll be thinking, if I was with JJ, I could ask this question. Social life. You mentioned this a while ago. You know, you had a great summer in Marbella.
Yeah.
And whilst the business didn't dip, the growth didn't happen. But you had some other growth in your life, which was social and fun and enjoyment. And I think a lot of people don't understand that business growth is not just linear on revenue.
Yeah.
You having a bit of time to yourself, how much did that help the business? And how do you manage your social life to a degree that you have what you perceive to be fun?
Yeah, I think like what you said there before, we work in sprints, and I think I know where my sprints are and I know where I've got time to pull back, and having these elements of where we can really push the business is really, really great, because I know I've got a break here where I can take the foot off the gas and just let the systems run for a little bit. That for me has been really, really influential. It's just like periodizing our, you know, our training or periodizing like a competition prep, for example. We don't just go push, because again, we would burn out, and you know, we're not going to get fulfillment and enjoyment from that. So having those periods has definitely been really, really key. But then when you do have these time away, when you are socializing, you realize how important it is, especially at a young age. But you don't need to be doing that all the time. You know, I think that's a realization for me, is I don't need to go out drinking every weekend. You know, once a month or, you know, or twice a month is absolutely fine. But the benefits that I can have from that in terms of growing the business, my energy, my coaching, my results, they all have a massive uplift when I do that. And I think if anyone hasn't, you know, experienced that and having these push-pulls where you realize actually you don't need that as much, but it's really, really nice to kind of, when you get to that end goal or when you have made a certain level of progress, reward yourself. And I think there's no reason with doing that as a definitely a young coach within the industry.
As a young coach in the industry, if they are doing weekly, Friday, Saturday night, absolutely on it all the time, just in your experience so far, what would you say that's saying potentially about a coach when on one side they want to build a successful business, on the other side, every weekend they're getting tied into 2 days of absolute smashing themselves to the ground? You know, I've been there and I know what was happening in my head at that time when I was doing it. What would your advice be to a coach that finds himself, I can't get away from two nights a weekend being out with my mates, but I want to build my business?
I would just look internally and say, you know, why are you doing this for? You know, is there a certain thing which is drawing you to these habits and behaviors, which is ultimately taken away from your progress. Now look at really what do you value? Do you value doing that? And if you do, that's absolutely fine. But you're not going to grow the business how you want. And I think that's definitely a trap that a lot of young people will fall into, is they'll just get pulled into the thing of, oh, I have to do it because my friends are doing it. And really, you know, is that what you really want to do, or is you just getting dragged into something? So I definitely have an internal conversation with yourself. But if you really want to grow a business, you want to set a standard for your clients, you want to set a standard for, you know, yourself, you can't operate doing that. You know, your energy is going to be, you know, through the floor. Your mental health is going to be through the floor. The energy that you're giving to clients, your coaching systems, you know, even the time that you've got as well, and the awareness, it's so much more diminished. And I think that's just something you should to definitely have a look at and think, is this really worth it?
And with that, we've also got to look at environments and people and friends.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to call anybody toxic.
Yeah.
Because that's not true. What I am going to say is having people around you that are fixated on having and not even a destructive lifestyle, a lifestyle of one that they're choosing to be partying and drinking and having that type of fun. Like, what would you say to people about whether they should possibly consider removing themselves from it, starting to move into slightly different environments? You've done that. Mm. You know, Dubai was the biggest shift with you that's opened up a huge network. So just in terms of changing environments and moving environments that are more conducive to the person you want to be, how important has that been?
100%. Like that's environment for you is ultimately what's going to dictate your progress, who you surround yourself with. You sit around a table with five people discussing business and training, you know, in comparison to talking about, you know, maybe going meeting girls and going out on a weekend, you know, your progress will show itself. So I think for me, 100%, like changing just even the conversations that you're having with, you know, even in social scenarios, you know, even who you're mixing yourself with, the impact that that's going to have on both your training, your business, your coaching, you know, just the ideas that you're going to get and the inspiration. I think that's what's so good about being in Dubai. And when we have like coaching concierge events, is the inspiration that you leave with. You know, you're so fulfilled and you're so driven that's going to probably continue for 4 or 5 weeks. And if you're having that experience on a day-to-day basis and your environment's so conducive towards where you want to go, that is going to have a huge impact on you, your energy, you know, just how you feel day-to-day. You're going to live a life, you know, a lot more fulfilled.
I love that. And why Dubai? What was the appeal? I mean, you're at home. You were at home. Yeah. You have your family around you. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people listening to this episode and will watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they may have aspirations of leaving home and going to do something. But, you know, I remember when my dad just had a phase in his life when my mum and dad kind of like split up years and years ago. And I remember saying to him, you know, you should say fuck it to more things. And so it's this whole mentality that you're living life according to what's really inspiring to you. Yeah. What was the motivator? This may be a catalyst for somebody to just take control and do what they want to do. What was the catalyst for Dubai?
Yeah, I think why not, first of all? Like, if you want to go and do something, you know, go and do it. Don't feel like you've got these attachments to certain places or certain people. If you really want to do something, you know it's the best thing for you going forward, then 100% do it. Dubai was a huge attraction for me because, you know, obviously for the fitness industry, it's huge. There's some of the best gyms in the world. You've got some of the best athletes in the world training here. In terms of business as well, the energy that they feed off people day to day, the standards that we live by every single day, it is more expensive, of course, but that comes with a better quality of life. I'm sure you all agree, like, if you want something, it's on hand. You know, shopping's there. You know, even for a young entrepreneur, the things that you can get done for you at lower cost, these low value tasks are so, so important for me, you know, for productivity every single day. And Dubai is perfect for that. The location, you know, what you can do in terms of days off, you know, you can go to the beach, you can get sun. I think it's such an important part of, you know, of living over here. I think it's having that element of downtime where you don't need to be just going out and getting smashed. There's so much more activities that you can do away from drinking and partying. It's just so conducive to somebody in the fitness industry, but also in the entrepreneurial space as well. You know, this is the perfect city.
And to a young coach that's sitting there thinking, you know, I really want to do it, but I feel like it's expected of me to stay.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I'd just say, just go and do it. You know, I think there's got nothing to lose. Just book a flight. You know, get an Airbnb for 2 or 3 months. If all else fails, just go back. You know, you've got literally nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. I booked a flight out here with a 3 month visa. I thought, right, I'm just going to go and try it, see how it goes. Within 3 weeks, I'll set my business up out here. So, You know, just go and try. It doesn't have to be Dubai. Just go somewhere else. You know, just go where you think is going to be most conducive for you from a work environment, for fulfillment in life. You know, I think from a growth perspective as well, like you put yourself massively outside your comfort zone. You know, I didn't know anyone here when I first moved here. I had to create a friendship group, I had to create a new life. And I think from, you know, just a life experience perspective, like throwing yourself outside your comfort zone like that to kind of settle into a new life is really, really important. And you'll learn a lot about yourself.
And it
well.
Could be moving from Nottingham to London. It could be moving from Liverpool to London. Yeah. It could be moving from Liverpool to Spain, wherever it may be. I think the point that you've just made very well is there's a comfort zone you're in right now.
Yeah.
And it's making that step out and going to somewhere that you don't know that's challenging you. It's the challenging environments that give you the new skills. So what are a few of the skills, just you know, rattle them off, that you've learned since being here about you and about business and about people that you wouldn't have known? And it's not about Dubai. What has the challenge done for you personally? What have you overcome and become as a result?
Yeah. You'll be a very good communicator, 100%. You're going to be with completely different people from completely different backgrounds that you'd never ever experience, you know, coming from where I'm from. You've got to be very adaptable. You've got to be very, you've got to learn to manage your emotions a lot more. I think coming out and moving to a new city, it's very overwhelming at times. And I think you've got to learn to manage your emotions and keep a strong head on your shoulders. And I just think be optimal, you know, like don't think like, oh, if this goes badly, you know, what's going to happen? Because if you go into every single day with, you know, opportunity and you can see positivity in that, then something probably will come from it. So what you've got to think as well is if this all goes wrong, you know, what happens? Just go back. Like, yeah. It's not the end of the world. Like you can just go back to where you come from, but at least you've had the experience there and you've tried it.
At least you've challenged yourself,
yeah.
You know. To any younger coach that aspires to create a brand such as JJ Transformations, their own version, and results, a coach who's maybe thinking that there's an easier way than just focusing on the results, what would your advice be?
I think don't get caught up into these. There's a lot of business mentors out there, I think, that who are just going to be like sell. A brand and a business is always built off longevity. All right, you might make an immediate quick buck, you know, selling to rich people, but the brand, the service, the results that you get every single day are gonna literally just, you know, produce the longevity of your brand. I'm not in coaching to be here for the next 2 or 3 years. I want the next 10, 15 years to be known as, you know, an incredible coach that has a huge impact on people. So as you get into this, you know, reputation takes a long time to build, but at the same time, you know, it can be lost, you know, if you start doing things unethically in this industry very, very quickly. And I think that's so important that I think a lot of young people don't get caught up into making this a quick buck, because it's not going to last. And I think you will get found out. So please take the time, the systems, the energy to do the things that Mark's telling you. You know, focus on service, focus on results, focus on referrals, build this business organically how you should be. And then you're going to have a lot more longevity with your business, you know, later down the line as well. And then you can look at these scaling systems and then you can start throwing things on. But even myself, like I'm still hesitant to do these things. Because again, ethically, I don't think some of the things that some people are doing are probably, you know, what we should be doing.
Well, I mean, this potentially is for another day.
Yeah.
You know, we've been able to build a big business and service a lot of people around the world, and 23 years later, still got a reputation that, you know, I'm very proud of. I'm proud of the team that's around us, and I'm grateful that you're with us on this journey. I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to help you on this journey. But you're someone that's, you know, so you're early into your career, I've got a lot of respect for, because you are doing it the right way.
Yeah.
Now maybe this is the right way aligned with what you and I both value. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's another important thing. If you are somebody that just wants to go down a different route, do it aligned with your own values.
Yeah.
But if this podcast is aligned with you, then there is a right way to do it. And that right way is to become great at your craft, be dedicated and lock yourself down to get great results. Of course, you're going to work with a lot of clients in the early days, as JJ will agree. You do work with, in the early days, a lot of clients. And I think this is a great thing for us to quickly touch on.
Yeah.
You've got to work with a lot of the, let's not say wrong clients, you've got to work with a lot of your not ideal clients to eventually work with your ideal clients.
100%. It's just the same with anything. It's the experience, it's the levels. Like if you want to, gain respect off people that you want to work with, you've got to get results with people that you don't. I think that's unfulfilling for a lot of coaches when they start out. Is, you know, they might be unfulfilled coaching very, very general pop fat loss clients, but if you can't prove your worth coaching these clients, do you really deserve to coach body transformation clients, photo shoot clients, maybe that leading into comp prep clients? Mm-hmm. You have to prove your worth at one end before you can get to the other. But understand that that takes time as well. Like, this isn't going to happen overnight. But the more you implement these systems, the better your service is, the better results that you get, the quicker that's going to happen. So I think just don't have this kind of short-term mindset of, oh, it's going to take, you know, 3 to 6 months. You know, it's going to take time. It's going to take time to build your reputation, to build your systems, and to get these results that you are looking for.
Well, listen, JJ, I'm grateful that we've been able to do this in person. I'm grateful for your insight, because do you know what you're also doing for me is, sometimes with the fact that I've been in the industry quite a long time, there's younger coaches that may look at that and go, you know, can I relate to this? And the most important thing is, by having people like yourself here that are actually right in the thick of it right now, you give a lot of young coaches the hope that it is possible. And it's through your determination, your discipline. I also know that I'm looking right now at one of the future, you know, top physique prep coaches in the industry, because you've got what it takes. And I don't say that in a patronizing way. I've watched a lot of people come and go. And you're doing it the right way. You know, I know you'll continue to go on from strength to strength. So I just want to say, you know, you're doing an incredible job. I'm very grateful for you being able to be on this episode to share this wisdom that you've already picked up so early on into your career, and you've gone to be a huge success. For anybody that wants to just follow your journey,
yeah,
what's the best place to see you and follow along?
Probably just Instagram is my most popular platform. So it's at JJ Transformations. You can find me on there. Please message me, drop me a DM, anything you want to ever find out or hear about me. I'll be happy to help as well.
JJ, well, listen, absolute privilege to have you here today. I just thank you for your time, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Mark.